This week on Full Credit to the Boys, the Storm take home the spoils in the big dance. The Tigers are 2017 premiers.
Woohoo!
And we award the 2017 Golden Balloon Knots. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the ultimate Full Credit to the Boys podcast. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at former_legend. You can find the bloke on my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week has been half-masked following the death of Hugh Hefner. He's wearing a 2017 Tigers Premier shirt where he's crossed out Richmond and written in Wests and is now known for the third year in a row as a person of interest to police. Welcome, Sid.
Thank you very much. Public nuisance, I think they call me. That's good to see the Tigers win one. That's 2 in 12 years for me. We're going well, the Tigers.
Now, the biggest story all week.
Oh, here we go. What is the biggest story all week?
According to the Northern Territory News, a 5-year-old cockatoo named Opie loves to relax over a sweet white in the evenings with owner Andrew Griffiths. Andrew Griffiths says, I first noticed he had a fetish for alcoholic beverages when he showed an interest in apples. I mean, what resident of the Northern Territory doesn't have a fetish for alcohol? The cocky cockatoo soon moved on to ciders before discovering a love of white wine. I mean, he's not all bad.
He's not buying it himself. I think this has a lot more to do with Opie's owner.
He'll walk up your arm and stare at the glass and wait for you to offer him a little bit. He's knocked over a stubby of beer and tried to drink the dregs, but he prefers the sweet whites.
Yeah, they do.
So does Donald Trump.
Yep.
They only had a very small brain, he said. When he gets a little bit tipsy, he starts to squawk and dance around. I haven't tried him on spirits yet. I don't think that's a great idea. Well, feeding a 5-year-old spirits isn't a great idea either, Andrew. But certainly confirms the old saying, pissed as a parrot, Sid.
There will be do-gooders everywhere squawking about this, but I think it's great. This is a true story. My mate had a cockatoo, and we used to get
it. Did he?
We used to... The bird.
Lucky old man.
He used to have a bird, a cockatoo, and we used to get it stoned, and he absolutely loved it. This is a true story. My mate's mum would say, what's Gary saying? Morbidly? Who taught him that? But only we knew that Gary the cockatoo was screeching, more billies. That is a true story. He loved it.
And loved the cheese.
Until he fell off the perch. No, he literally fell off the perch. He didn't die. He fell off. He was stoned.
DailyMail.co.uk report that the police minister in South Africa has declared war on criminals, redeploying a notoriously brutal unit and telling them to crush balls and to make criminals pee and drink their own urine.
Wow.
If they have got balls, we must crush them, he said. We must crush their balls, let the criminals pee and drink their own piss.
That's tough talk.
If a man says he has balls, we must crush those balls. I'm just going to take a tip here. Loves a ball.
I think he used to be the Victorian police minister, didn't he?
The minister also said he was... Jesus. He said it was embarrassing for police to be beaten up by criminals and added that only he, as the minister, was allowed to have a bulging belly and not those fighting crime on the streets.
He can't even see his balls.
He joked, big bellies are for the minister alone. Leave that for me so I can enjoy myself. Yeah. He also said the national rugby team, the Springboks, who were thrashed 57-0 by the All Blacks last week, had let the country down and the result had led to criminal behaviour. If I was the Springboks, I'd be feeling a little bit nervous at the moment.
Yes,
a little bit dusty.
If they've got balls.
He joked that unless they raised their game, he would send his police units to sort them out. Where was this bloke when Oscar Pistorius was ducking around? Or at least blokes impersonating Oscar Pistorius.
Well, my mate was in Cape Town a number of years ago.
With a cockatoo.
He actually is a different mate. I've got a couple of mates. He saw a bunch of thugs bash a bloke and put tyres on him and light this bloke up. So I think old Minister Fat Guts has more problems than worrying about the Springboks. Get your shit in order, Fat Guts.
A UK blogger, Tracy Kiss.
Did you make up that name,
no,
Tracy Kiss?
No, 100% true.
Here we go. What's this story?
Has filmed herself transforming flesh removed from her lady garden,
you can say vagina.
Vajayjay,
I'm not.
Cock pocket.
I know you're throwing them up there, but I'm not going to hit them.
Her dick purse. Anyway. Schlong
five
oven.
Chicks just came out of the backyard stats lab. They thought you were calling them. Yeah, back to work.
And keep your head down. Please don't know your ear. Anyway, Tracy Kiss has filmed herself transforming flesh removed from her vagina during designer surgery and turned it into a glittery necklace.
Wow.
Now, Ms. Kiss from London... Oh, the jokes write themselves, don't they?
I know.
Ms. Kiss from London had surgery to remove excess skin from her labia. I mean, if she's from London, why don't she start at the dentist? Excess skin from her labia and decided to keep the pieces of skin.
I hate the way you say that. But keep going.
Labia. Is there a better word? Labia.
I apologise to our female listener. I'm
sorry, Tracy. I'm Lynn. Lynn G. Labia. Where was I up to?
Yeah.
Did I say labia? Going.
Yeah, you did.
Remove excess skin from her labia and decided to keep the pieces of skin and subsequently covered them in glitter, sealed them in resin and turned them into a necklace pendant set. Now, I tell you what, Tracy. Yeah. I think don't go looking for one of these at Proud's. You know what I'm saying? Because that is a real...
Yeah. Sort of a anyway...
Now, I understand Chris Heinington is also planning on doing the same thing with his dick doodle, dick hoodie, I should say, when he finally honours his bets with Shark teammates. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about...
We broke that exclusively here on this podcast this year.
Go back and listen to our interview with James Maloney earlier this year.
Look, I've got no dramas with this. All the kids should be doing this. Remember when Ian Thorpe brought out a pearl necklace?
Not personally, I don't remember it, but I've heard about it.
Look, it's got nothing to do really with this story, but it just makes me laugh. Remember when that happened?
Oh, look at my pearl necklace that Liam Thorpe left on me. I bought. Designed.
Let's move on.
Eric Brown, Sid,
yeah,
is a tattoo artist that tattooed the white of new girlfriend Kat Gallinger's right eye purple.
Yeah.
Now, the procedure called scleral pigmentation, labia pigmentation, not labia.
I'm not sure about your pronunciations, but anyway.
Scleral pigmentation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tattooing the eye.
Now,
yeah.
If you're squeamish, look away. Is made by lancing a small needle into the top layer of the eye and injecting it dilute with the diluted ink. Now, Gallinger's eye was immediately painful. No shit, Sherlock.
No shit. Sherlock.
You love that sample.
Immediately painful. You don't say. It started constantly leaking a steady stream of purple ink. So she decided to head to hospital.
No.
Long story short, over the last few weeks, her vision has improved to a blurry sight, but now she's waiting for surgery. The globs of hardened ink still mottling in her eye.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good word, mottling?
Yeah. Better than labia.
Nothing wrong with the old...
Just move on.
A mottling labia. Mottling in her eye. Doctors have scheduled a consultation for next week. If scans determine that the ink has solidified on her labia, Gallinger said doctors told her they'll have to remove her eye.
Seriously, I've said this before. What's wrong with you people? You look fine, just the way Jeebus made you, or whoever, Noah, whoever it was.
Why would you want a purple eye?
Why are people doing this?
Why?
Why are people getting their balloon knot tattooed, their eyeball? What would be more painful, you reckon?
Labia.
That is the last time we're going to play that news jingle this year, and nobody... worked out the Morse code.
No.
Nobody even commented.
No one wants to know. That's what it is.
Where's our 95-year-old creditors out there?
World War II veterans just sitting around deciphering.
They know what it's saying.
Mal Meninga has announced his 24-man kangaroo squad for the World Cup, with notable omissions being Blake Ferguson, Josh Mansour, Regan Campbell-Gillard and James Tedesco.
I think James Tedesco is the number one on that list.
Yeah. While full credit of the boys' very own James Maloney made the side.
Oh, good.
Debutants for the Storms, Cameron Munster, Felice Kafusi, Jordan McLean will join Manly's Tom Trbojevic, Cronulla's Wade Graham, and Rabbitohs bound Knight, Dane Gagai.
Yes, I think Tedesco can feel hard done by, but with Trbojevic and the Queenslanders, it's a tough.
Can I just throw one up
tough
that
position
I think
to win
blessed
there.
To be in that side?
Who?
Blessed. Josh Dugan. How?
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
How on God's green earth?
I wasn't listening to you. I didn't just, even notice. Did you say that Josh Dugan was.
He's in it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I just don't get it. I can't see
he's,
what they all see.
He's going to go no good with his mate not there, Fergo.
Well, you wouldn't think so. He might get better.
He might be sober.
The Bulldogs announced that Dean Pay, they've announced Dean Pay as their new coach on a 2-year deal. As club boss Ray Dibb confirms the club still need to cut some stars to have Kieran Ford and Aaron Woods contracts registered. And
no shit. Sherlock.
I wanted to press that that time.
Get under the salary cap in 2018. Good appointment, Sid?
I'm not so sure, actually. The Mole is reporting this afternoon that Jimmy Dimmock, who was Desi's offsider and who is a Canterbury player in the past, which they love to have push. Their old boys push the family club and all that. The Mole's reporting Jimmy Dimmock is spitting the dummy and quitting.
Mm.
I don't know if it's a good decision. What do you think?
I think Dean Pay will be starting the year with one arm tied behind his back, which isn't how you want to start a year.
No.
I'll be interested to see whether they can hang on to Lysha. I'll be interested to see who they offload.
I think they've released Lysha.
They have they?
Yeah, I think I saw this afternoon. I don't know where he's going, but he's not wanted,
well,
which is no great scoop, but apparently
I think his last three games showed that without following Des Hasler's game plan,
that
he
is
can't
very
play
true.
Rugby league. So.
I might have to check that, but I was pretty sure that Lysha and a couple of other no-names have been released, but that's not going to cover Woods or Foran. And
no.
I think I've said it before on this podcast, Foran to the Bulldogs is going to be an absolute disaster.
Well, while we talk about Foran,
yes,
news.com.au report that Bulldogs bound star Kieran Foran has found love with a tattooed, not the eye, mother of six from the Central Coast, flaunting their relationship on social media. Now, I ask you before we go into this, Sid,
yes,
who hasn't found love with a tattooed mother of six from the Central Coast? I mean, even if it's only for a weekend.
Exactly, just for 8 minutes. But Foran,
real stayer.
You've thrown this at me, but Foran said he was leaving the Warriors, who gave him a good home for a while there. But he said, "I'm leaving the Warriors to come back to Sydney to look after his kids." Now he's got six more.
What a guy! Real Brady Bunch guy.
He's just picking him up as he goes.
The Panthers are playing hardball with Matt Moylan, saying they want an extra $250,000 transfer fee if the former club captain leaves the Penrith ground.
Yeah, look, I didn't even know that we can have a transfer fee in the NRL. I know the Super League do it. But this is just their games to make sure Matt Moylan stays, whether he likes it or not. To add $250,000 to his already massive contract, that means no one can afford him. So poor old Matt's going to have to suck it up and play at the Panthers again next year.
Former Dragons coach and Sharks assistant Steve Price has been awarded the Warrington job in the Super League.
Good for him.
In good news for him, unlike other travellers on that plane over to Warrington, he won't need to declare chin in his hand luggage.
He doesn't have a chin. Phil does not. But Jim Dimmock has apparently been in talks. Now he spat the dummy with Cronulla to already replace no chin Price.
Well, he'll bring two chins. Phil Gould's commentary on Channel 9 has been heavily criticised by footy commentators and AFL stars during the game. He began his week before the grand final, apparently labelling the Storm overrated on his podcast. Now, I say apparently because I'll never listen to it.
No, I saw it reported. I do not listen to his podcast.
Could you think of anything worse?
I'm too busy listening to my podcast, which is great.
During the game, numerous Victorian identities, mainly from the AFL world, relished in Gould's apparent dismay at the Storm's dominance.
Look, it was embarrassing to hear him in the commentary. I haven't watched Channel 9 commentary all year, but since Fox didn't have the grand final, I had to listen to Gus, and he was backtracking in his comments during the game. It was horrible to listen to. The Storm.
He did bring up wrestling again, which is, Jesus, that's a tired argument.
That is a tired argument. I'll give you that. The Storm, they lost four games all year, two of those through Origin. We've mentioned that before. But get over it, Gus. The sooner he hangs up the mic, better for all concerned. And I put Rabs in that too. Rabs would be a better commentator if Gus just pissed off.
Well, I think Rabs is a Phil Gould enabler. He gives him the air and the bullets to fire, and
he thinks that's
act.
His way
so
to
tired.
Stay relevant. Do you know how you stay relevant? Call the game and piss Gus off.
Yeah, I agree. All right, enough of that. Enough of the hard hitting stuff.
Yeah,
this.
Don't know what came over me.
Well, the Melbourne Storm, the 2017 Premiers, after a resounding victory against the Cowboys, winning 34-6. Now, I think I'm right in saying this here. This was the first grand final where the big three have all played together.
Did you check that with the Backyard Stats Lab?
Nah.
It's probably true. I don't know.
If Cooper Cronk retires, as is expected, I mean, what a way for them to go out as a trio and him to go out, especially in one of the more dominant seasons in NRL history. It was the 232nd match the three blokes have played together and the 170th win. And all three shone in a Storm masterclass. Now,
that's true.
The Cowboys fans now know what it feels like to be a New South Wales fan and have these three just humiliate you.
Yeah, I still can't get excited about the Storm. I know you get excited about them. I saw a tweet where someone's like, yeah, no one cares except former legend. You do love them. And
I love the way they play footy, mate. It is brilliant to watch.
And I think that wrestling argument is a tired argument. Oh, the way they've played this year has been impressive, but I'm not going to apologise for it. I just can't get excited. It ruined my afternoon.
Really?
The PNG Hunters getting towed up, and then Melbourne Storm. I just wanted a few things to go the Cowboys' way and make a game of it.
But that's
but
the thing.
That's their whole season.
They need a lot of things just to make it, to get the game to go their way. The best team won.
I can't knock them for that. Absolutely, they were the best team all year, and quite often that doesn't happen. That the winner that holds up the trophy wasn't the most dominant team all year.
Sharks.
They were the most dominant, and they deserve it. But I'm not going to get excited over it.
In a game that the Storm flexed their muscle in, it was also the first time one of our favourites, Jason Taumalolo, the Eggman, didn't dominate.
No.
Now, the Storm were the first team all year to negate his presence. And according to Flaxseed and Softpoo from the former legend Backyard Stats Lab, he ran just 120 metres.
Saw them hand in hand.
But tellingly, he made 35 tackles, which is a long way up on his season average. The Storm essentially forced the Eggman to tackle himself to a standstill.
No, that's true. And that's what the Storm do to you. Yeah. I just wished that it would be a bit closer scoreline-wise and a bit more competitive, but losing a player in the first three minutes.
Yeah, that hurt too.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Oh, that was nasty.
I don't want to gush as well. Over the.
No, but you will. You've been gushing over them all year.
Another
Go
great
on.
Word, gush.
Go on.
I don't want to gush over them, but like even the way they figured out Taumalolo.
No, that's
no
true.
No other team's been able to do that.
No, I totally agree with that.
It's a rare combination of good coaching, but also a couple of blokes on the field that have the presence and the brains and the footy brains to implement the plans that are put in place. And
mate,
sometimes the best coaches cannot have the best minds on the field, and so their plans are just null and void.
No, that's absolutely true. I cannot disagree with you as much as I want to. I'm not going to gush over Melbourne winning the Rugby League Premiership, but I totally agree with you. You see them all on the field with their kids, and they've just got a whole process down there that absolutely works.
Yep.
The coach, it's not that he's got three of the best players. He knows how to coach. He worked out Taumalolo that nobody's been able to do all year.
Mm.
It was a masterclass, and they should be wrapped for that. But
now, speaking of stats,
I really don't care for the Storm.
If a player ever had a grand final, remember, it was the Fox, Josh Adokar. Now, according to New Pubes and Bumfluff from the former legend Backyard Stats Lab, the Fox ran 224 metres with the ball, made a line break, a try assist, and scored two tries of his own, and subsequently made Jason Taylor a clearly good judge of football talent.
Look, I read during the week that he had already signed with the Storm very early on.
Really?
Yeah.
Chose not to stay under the tutelage of
Jason Taylor. Go on. Bag the Tigers. Bag the Tigers.
I'm
whatever.
I'm bagging the Tigers. I'm bagging the stupid coach.
It was a decision that was made. It was an error on our behalf, obviously, because he turned in a great season.
One bloke, I believe, decided that he shouldn't stay.
I was super excited for Josh Adokar. In the post-match interviews, he was just over the moon. He was cut from South Sydney and Cronulla before he was cut by the Tigers, and now he's gone down there and absolutely dominated, and good for him.
If you want to talk about blokes that were over the moon, on the flip side of that, Chase Blair, who was a mainstay in that whole team until he hurt himself in about round 20-ish.
Yep.
You'd have to feel a bit sorry for him.
Of course, there's always those.
Blake Green, another good choice.
There's always hard luck stories.
I'm out of here, boys.
But
Manly are going ahead. I want to train out of a place that has got demountables.
But the post-match interviews were the highlight for me, because seeing blokes like that, everyone says that over the salary cap and they got a whole bunch of superstars. Vunivalu and Josh Adokar were nobodies going there at the beginning 100%. Of the year, and they're 1 and 3 in the top try scorers. They've now got a premiership ring, and all glory to them.
It might be wrong. I've heard that between the two of those blokes, Vunivalu and Josh Adokar, who have been superstars all year, scored most of the tries for that club.
Yeah.
Collectively are on 300,000
each. And that's true.
Between the two of them.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The Tigers, from what I understand, the Tigers had an option to keep Adokar for about 100 to 150.
Yeah, get rid of him.
And
legless.
Dicked around, so he went to Melbourne.
Melbourne were on top of the ladder by round 8 this year, Sid, and were never headed from there. 4 losses in an entire year and 10 wins in a row from round 20 until now. I said it before the game and I'll say it again. If they were beaten on the day, it would have been a bit unjust. Now, meanwhile, on the other side of the paddock, the Cowboys have just proven that you can still perform despite an injury toll that would have had Hawkeye Pearce and Terrence Ellis under the pump.
Absolutely. We should play the MASH theme just while we're talking about this, because they got absolutely smashed. We said it in about July. They're gone.
Mm.
And they just kept getting more and more injuries. And in 3 minutes in, who was it that did his... broke his leg in 2 spots.
Sean Fensom.
Yeah, that crueled him.
Like, yeah, it did.
They're running 1 short, but that's been the story of their season.
Tell you what, but how good's a green whistle?
Oh, that was great. Did you see the Cowboys?
Pissing themselves when he was
all up in the box, the coach's box. He's giving the thumbs up, then everyone started a chant, and he's egging on the chant. The green whistle's great.
Anyway, congratulations to the Melbourne Storm. Absolutely. They are the best team of the year, and they deserve their grand final victory. And well done to all of them down that way. AFL and the Richmond Tigers completed the second fairy tale premiership in 2 years for the Code when they smashed the Adelaide Crows by 8 goals. Now, while the result was a good story, the final series was one of the more boring months of footy in the sport.
That
Code's
is true.
History.
That is not just us saying it. Just, it is true.
Just one game decided by less than 6 goals. Now, following the grand final, foxsports.com.au report that the AFL is left with a further problem, with the perception that the competition is massively biased to Victorian teams. Sydney, with a 10-point win against Hawthorn in 2012, is the only interstate team since the early 2000s to travel to Melbourne and beat a Victorian team in the Big Dance. Now, it's telling that its past 4 premiers all defeated a travelling opponent that finished higher on the ladder. Now, Sid, I'll ask you the obvious question. Will the AFL bite the bullet and rename the competition the VFL?
Look, people can come up with statistics to prove anything, former. 40% of our listeners know that. That is a stupid statement. Since 2000, the AFL have had 7 premiers from outside of Victoria.
Played 4 other states team, but...
But 4 grand finals in a row did not even have a Melbourne team in it. It's only the last couple of years that they've made up this bullshit stat. It's crap.
I say it's not bullshit. It's stuffed. The AFL stuffed. The Killers were stuffed.
The Killers were good. They weren't great, but they were good.
They were good. Do you want to talk about Macklemore? Do we touch on that or not?
We can touch on that.
What do you think?
I thought he was outstanding.
So did I.
The kerfuffle that surrounded it was a load of shit. Well, Buzz Rothfield came out saying we should have spent that $500,000 on grassroots footy, and someone, as we discussed earlier, pointed out Buzz Rothfield's tweet 4 years ago saying, why can't we spend money and get an international act here and boost rugby league?
Are you telling me Buzz Rothfield's not consistent?
That's what I'm telling you.
Unbelievable.
This is why people tune into this podcast, for my scoops. Yeah. Like, it was amazing. It got traction all around the world by mistake or by design.
Well, congratulations to the NRL marketing team.
Headed
up by Tony Abbott, who really got the ball rolling and got the attention that the act deserved.
Mate, people don't go to the grand final to watch Macklemore. They went to the grand final and they witnessed something that was pretty darn good. All the bullshit around it just feeds in. It's like when rugby was at its peak and they're pinching rugby league players. And everyone's like, why are you? They're not the best players to play rugby. Oh. But it got rugby league off the back page and got rugby on the back page.
Well, forget that.
This is a marketing dream.
What about when AFL stole Carmichael Hunt?
That's exactly why they did it.
Israel Folau. I mean, two great AFL players.
Absolutely. They'll go down as two of the greats. Who are they again? That's embarrassing. But this, either by mistake or by design, is one of the great marketing genius ideas from the NRL.
I don't know.
Their other genius idea will be to pick up my rugby league song.
I don't know if you've heard this story. When Carmichael Hunt, do you remember the game he actually kicked us a goal after the bell?
I do. I read about it.
So did you read about what happened?
No.
He ran in that goal. So he goes back, he takes a mark, full-time siren. He's got one from about 30 out, a little bit off centre, and he goes back to kick the goal. Apparently, to his left was Gary Ablett Jr.
Mm-hmm.
begging for him to go down injured so he could take the goal. Little faith, as little faith as he had in him kicking.
Wow. And it cost him $1.2 million a season for that.
That's right. Well, so is Gary Ablett, truth be known. Basketball.
But can play.
In a setback to the Australian basketball community, it would seem that the giant NBA club, the Utah Jazz, are better at basketball than the team that ran seventh in last year's NBL season of eight teams, beating the Sydney Kings 108-84 in Salt Lake City today.
I can't believe the Kings went down. They're our seventh best team.
Are they in a slump? Is that what it is?
I think they're in a 14-year slump.
Surely the match-fixing investigation that is looking at the NRL, it's about to wrap up in the next 2 days, apparently.
Really?
No finding. Surely they can now head over to Salt Lake City and look at why the Sydney Kings have been beaten by some team named after instruments and music and what? I mean,
there's no jazz in Utah. All of this should be investigated. This is bizarre.
Salt Lake Bibles is what they should be called.
A lot of good players in that Sydney Kings team. Who's your favourite? See, I hate it when you do that to me.
Dean Utoff.
Shane Heal.
Tennis.
Moving on.
Tennis. One-time world number 17, Bernard Tomic's career is in free fall.
Oh, there's another scoop.
No shit. Sherlock.
It would slumping to 161 in the world. Tomic hasn't won a game in 3 months and will need to rapidly turn his form around to avoid the indignity of going through qualifiers for the upcoming Australian Open. If we could get those qualifiers up here in Sydney somewhere, I say we go.
We get on the
Cairns and we heckle this motherfucker.
You know, I'll be on the Cairns. I'll heckle.
Until he breaks.
Oh, yeah.
Cricket. England vice captain Ben Stokes is in huge doubt to tour Australia for the Ashes after being arrested by police following a street brawl that was caught on camera and seen all around the world, with Stokes knocking a man out on the street. Days later, a bunch of English cricketers were also photographed throwing a black dildo around the streets of Amsterdam celebrating Stephen Finn's buck day, Sid.
Look, it's the great Pommy way. Have too many beers, punch on outside a pub.
Play with a pretend dick.
It's not a good look if you're an Ashes player, but blokes throwing a giant black schlong around in the streets of Amsterdam, that should be applauded.
A middle stump, I think they call it over there.
They've come out and said Ben Stokes was defending a gay couple and just came to their rescue. What do we do now? What kind of conundrum does that throw up?
Even if I wanted to.
Is he a thug or is he a hero? Or I don't even know anymore.
I don't know. Cricket. Australia will leave India after a disastrous one-day international tournament ended, losing 4-1 and intensifying the pressure on the team and the captain as they head to the Ashes.
I've got to be honest, I haven't actually watched any of the rugby league semi-finals because I've been glued to my set watching Australia play India in a totally pointless one-day international tournament. Who cares? As long as they come out here and play the Ashes and have a good fist of it. Make it go 5 days so I can get on the Cairns for 5 days.
If they don't make a fist of it, make a dildo of it.
Yeah, throw that around the streets of Sydney.
Or a fist dildo. All right, Sid, without further ado, it's time for the last time this year for podcasting's number one segment. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
A lot of rugby league shows have finished for the year. Now the big dance is run and won. But we always like to have one extra chance for all our creditors to bitch and moan and carry on about something that's pissed them off. Therefore, we're doing it one more week.
Well, I have saved the greatest story for last.
Are you serious?
I am.
You've had some pearlers this year.
Deadly serious. This is the greatest story I've ever heard.
Oh, I'm going to settle into me comfy new chair.
Grab a mirror, Nathan Rowe Dog. No, not Nathan Ross Dog. Nathan Rowe Dog.
Rowe Dog. Rowe Dog.
The Rowe Dog.
Who's Nathan Rowe Dog?
Nathan Rowe Dog. Well, let me just read the headline from his local paper. And I want to start by saying I am not making one word of this up.
You mentioned this to me this afternoon. I have no idea what you're going to say, but I am more than intrigued.
Possibly the greatest story ever.
Okay, hit me.
The headline from the local paper in the UK reads, "Cyclist horror as his testicles end up lodged in his anus after freak accident."
No.
The greatest headline, talking about clickbait. P.S. I just want to say straight away, that newspaper is, and I'm not making this up, the South End News. I mean,
I'm still trying to get my head around how that's physically possible. Yeah, read it again.
Cyclist horror as his testicles end up lodged in his anus after freak accident.
Oh, that ain't any kind of good.
A witness has said 31-year-old Nathan Rowe Dog was at the scene and said, "I was at the top of, get this, Bread and Cheese Hill."
This is a stitch up of the highest order.
"When I noticed a cyclist in front of me wearing Lycra that left very little to the imagination."
Yeah.
"He pulled into the middle of the lane and started to coast down the hill when all of a sudden he tried to swerve to miss a pothole. Unfortunately, it was too late and his saddle threw him into the air. The impact must have been strong enough to force his entire scrotum into his anus." "Witnesses at the scene..."
I feel ill.
"...because he crashed his bike pretty bad, sent him home in a taxi."
Did they not notice the carnage that was his kegs?
I tell you what, if that Lycra was that tight, surely you noticed two big hairy ball bag missing from the scene.
Missing.
Now, according to the South End News, I'll say it again.
South End
the
News.
South End. And I'll read this word for word. "Luckily, paramedics later were able to perform an improvised tracheotomy.
I don't even think there is a medical term for what they had to do here.
And I swear to God, this is direct from the newspaper. They were able to perform an improvised tracheotomy and prise his genitals away from his, wait for it, balloon knot area." That
they
is
did
the
not
South,
say balloon knot.
The South End newspaper.
We've gone global.
Nathan Rowe Dog, grab a mirror, champion, and see if you can see where your fucking balls used to be.
That is fantastic. The best bit I got out of that was balloon knots gone global. That's full of kegs.
Equal 10.
Oh, it's good we're finishing with equal 10s again.
We've got it. We've got to stick with
that's
tradition.
A credit to all our creditors. They're so good, we have to have equal 10s.
Bet you no one comes with a story like Nathan Rowe Dog's.
That's made me feel ill.
Adsos wrote, "Grab a mirror, Stephen Kearney, for hogging the stage at the grand final presentation. And clearly he had too much to drink. Hashtag legless. Hashtag RSA. And then he wrote, "For that matter, grab a mirror, Tohu Harris, for leaving at Storm to go and play under Tawira Nikau at the New Zealand Warriors next year. Hashtag might be your last premiership ring."
I think on Triple M, on the Triple M coverage, one of the commentators said, "Tohu Harris is playing this game like it's his last grand final. And going to the Warriors, it probably is."
Equal 10. At Beerboy182 says, "Grab a mirror me for not being able to speak Dutch, or sorry, German, and buying $50 worth of German beer at Aldi. Problem was, it was non-alcoholic." Hitler did crimes far less than that.
Oh, that hurts me more than the bloke with kegs up his anus.
I'm not sure.
That's horrible. Feel for you, beer boy.
Equal
10.
That's at non-alcoholic beer boy.
Light beer boy.
At Ben Pugsley wrote, "Grab a mirror. Tibias, fibias, MCLs, ACLs, hammies, supra spinner tusses. And every other body part broken by Cowboys this year, we might have won. Hashtag sad face."
Good point. We covered that earlier. They did have some injuries.
Equal
10.
At Efficient Not Lazy says, Grab a mirror Wednesday afternoon and the realisation there'll be no more potties until March. Might need at FCTTB Stats Lab to get through. Hashtag tough times ahead.
The guys and girls down there can keep you up for the off-season.
There's 32 episodes you can go back and listen to again, so all is not lost.
33 weeks we've been doing this. Wouldn't change a thing.
Equal
10.
At Efficient Not Lazy says, grab a mirror at Honeysuckle Hotel. $9.80 for a schooner.
Oh.
$9.80.
A lot of these grab a mirrors just hurt me more and more and more.
If that's $9.80 for a schooner, what's a pack of the ciggies worth there?
Oh, don't even get me started on the cost of ciggies.
How do you expect me to get drunk and run amok at those prices? I'm better off on the headphones.
Good point.
Equal
10.
At Ernie Oz, had an air swing there. Grab a mirror, my employer, for not allowing nicknames on our work shirts. Hashtag HR gone mad, unlike at FCT2B Stats Lab.
That's political correctness gone mad. Should be able to have your...
Yeah?
I was wondering what you were doing there. Should be that should be allowed.
Should
go
be
on.
Able to have cock pocket or...
Well, yeah, I was going to throw some out, but you were about to hit 9.
Shamwell.
Are you going to hit 9?
9.
Yay!
At Mr. Barger says, grab a mirror, FCTTB Stats Lab, for not dealing in green whistles. How good are they? Sad you had to break your leg in the grand final just to get one.
That was fantastic. I think we covered that earlier.
8.
At Lynn G, 62, says, grab a mirror, telco overseas call centres that call me and want me to answer identity questions and get uppity when I refused. Hashtag, you called me. Hashtag, who are you?
Good point.
7.
At Real Matt Pope says, grab a mirror, Channel 9, for closing their grand final coverage with promos for the Ashes. Surely I'm not the only one that gives a fuck right now.
6.
At Geraldo underscore 042 says, we'll grab a mirror, Todd Greenberg, for not organising the Big Bash cricket to start next weekend. Hashtag incompetence knows no bounds.
Our creditors should be running these networks. If they were running Network 10.
Less broke than they're broke. Broke, but less broke.
5.
Hashtag grab a mirror, says Juan Farquhar. Politicians who complain about sports and politics mixing, but use our money to attend sporting events / use sports for votes. Hashtag hypocrites.
100%. Could not agree more. Good tweet.
4.
At Tomo Anarchy says, grab a mirror, dickhats that work in bottle shops specializing in craft beer. Saying a beer is fruity is not a positive. Where's the VB Longnecks?
What was the beer that we reviewed earlier in the year? Was it mango beer?
Devil's Ass, I think
it was
called.
Putrid. Totally agree.
You want to have a go?
Yeah, I'll have a go.
All right.
Now, listeners to Full Credit to the Boys know that I'm a bit like Molly Meldrum.
You're a bit like Molly Meldrum?
Yeah.
You like spars with men. Can't climb a ladder. you can't find a hat to fit you. You like small dogs in strange ways.
I wasn't going down any of those paths. I'm a bit like Molly Meldrum in I like to break new artists and give our listeners exclusive access.
Well, that's another reason people come to this show.
To the hottest hits coming out, much like Molly. Listeners will remember this year that I broke Katie Price's hit song. Remember that?
Trying to forget, got to
remember
be honest.
Remember that low light of the year? And what about when I broke Swish Swish Bish by Katy Perry, which actually brought down Brown FM?
It ended Brown FM.
We nearly got sued for that. But grab a mirror, Gabby Greco.
Who?
Some of you will already know Gabby as the fake-titted hussy hanging off Dr. Edelson's wrinkly old fella and his bank balance. But I can exclusively reveal...
Mainly his bank balance, to be honest.
You would think so. I can now exclusively reveal here for all Full Credit to the Boys listeners that we have a new reason to hate Gabby Greco.
Oh.
She has now released a single.
Has she?
Yes. Do yourself a favour, as my mate Molly would say, and go and buy this shit stain of a song.
Just a shit.
You're welcome, listeners.
I'm going to just say something very controversial.
Go on.
Might have been a bit of auto-tune in that.
You think so?
It was auto-tune.
It was done well.
What a car crash of a song.
Yeah. So grab a mirror, Gabby Greco, and stop snorting whatever you're snorting on that mirror.
I wouldn't think you'd need to grab a mirror to look at the charts.
Get a new manager. I've got a better manager than Gabby Greco. That's saying something.
Who is it?
Move on.
Three.
He does a good job. Books us all the good gigs.
Shifty. At a quality side says, grab a mirror Freddie Fittler for inventing new bones and continue to make no sense. How he keeps his job is one of life's great mysteries.
That is one of life's great mysteries. I used to love that show, Great Mysteries of the World.
I like Freddie Fittler.
Oh, I like him, but he's fucking out there.
Two.
At Angie Cooper 132 says, grab a mirror at Nath J. Cooper. For those who don't know, Nath J. Cooper is a bloke who sends lots of cock shots.
He does.
Mostly to Normie.
I love Coops. Is this Coops' missus?
This is Coops' missus.
How did Coops get a missus?
Grab a mirror.
Talk about great mysteries of the world.
Grab a mirror, Angie. Grab a mirror, Nath J. Cooper, for saying he'd rather listen to at FCTTB podcast than speak to me on a 6-hour road trip. Hashtag doghouse.
Good point. That's great. He'd rather listen to us than listen to Angie. One.
At Nath J. Cooper says, grab a mirror, Angie Cooper 132, for thinking you can even compete with at Sid Punts at former legend. Hashtag yawn. Hashtag happy to get out with a 1 round of 4. Hashtag hookers are cheaper anyway.
He did not say that.
Yeah, I'm just going to say something here. Might be controversial. I've had a look at your photo, Angie. I've had a look at Nath J. Cooper's photos.
Yes.
Now, the term batting overs gets tossed around a lot.
It does.
But you are one lucky motherfucker, Angie.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Well, Sid, 2017 began with 3, quickly became 2. At one stage was 1.
Yes. But I was doing it on my own. It didn't rate well.
We thought we'd get this bloke on the line. Welcome back to Full Crew of the Boys. You can find him on Twitter at Normie Dorrell, or you can find him in various public toilet blocks. Welcome back, Normie Dorrell.
Alan Jones likes to join me in Cubicle 2 most Thursday evenings, mate.
Did you say Alan Jones?
That's him. What's the news, you mongrels?
Oh, there's fucking dust in this studio. You know, if it was Bloody John Laws or something, the whole joint would be cleaned out. It's fucking ridiculous.
Since you've left,
we used to play that sting every single episode I ever did on radio. It's one of my favourites.
I thought you meant the How To podcast. What happened to
them? Oh, no, that died pretty quickly, mate. I think, Heath and I went, nah, not for us. We usually get paid for this shit, mate, not for free.
Yeah. Since you've left, we've got a whole heap of stingers. We only ever use one.
No shit, Sherlock.
But we've gone high class this year.
And what happened to your wibble-wibble-wobble-wibble-wobble jelly on a plate that you used when I blew out last year?
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. That was one of our best last year.
We'll have to find that.
That was a cracker.
Yeah, that was a good one. And lads, you seem to have about a different sponsor every time I tune in. You've got some new free stuff you're giving away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Tonight's episode is brought to you by the good people at VB, Victorian Bitter. whack your laughing gear in a can of VB this summer. That's right, VB, Vision Blurrers.
I don't actually want them to sponsor any more podcasts. I'm feeling a little bit dusty already.
All right, boys, let's go back to episode 1 and have a listen to our predictions for the year of 2017. All right, Normie, let's go into the predictions here. We'll start with, obviously, the first one. Who's going to win the season of 2017, the big dance? Normie, who do you like?
Stupid question, mate. Obvious. The Sharkies are going back to back, baby.
Wouldn't think so.
Yeah. You had your chance. You had your comp.
Sid, Who do you like?
North Queensland.
North Queensland.
Yeah, they'll win the big dance.
Back of Jonathan Thurston, Matt Scott. They'll go a long way into it, I'd say. Well, I'll tell you what I like. I like
Who
Melbourne.
Who do you like?
I like Melbourne.
Boring. Yeah, no chance.
$2
$2.20 favourite. I'm going to back them.
Whatever.
Well, there you go, boys. Thank you very much. Call me Nostradamus. I've backed the Melbourne Storm.
Mate, we both had a hand in the big dance. I was close. No cigar.
Yeah, I knew
and the
that...
Sharks should have won, let's be honest. So I was right, really.
I knew the Cowboys would have some dramas with Jonathan Thurston and Matt Scott.
We should go to the videotape for that. But anyway, good prediction.
What an awful game, just quietly.
Yeah, I said this earlier. I totally agree with you. I'm not a big fan. I don't get a half mast like former does over the Storm. I thought it was a bit of a non-event, especially with...
I'd only tuned in for Macklemore, and after that, it was all downhill.
Yeah, it was a bit of a non-event.
I thought that was one of the many highlights, Macklemore. Anyway.
I was hoping the PNG Hunters would have a dig.
Yeah, I hear you, Sydney.
Yeah.
No luck.
But here are some of our other predictions.
Let's go to State of Origin winner. Norm, we're going to start with State of Origin. State of Origin, who's going to win, and series score?
New South Wales, 2-1.
Queensland, 2-1.
New South Wales, 2-1.
Yeah, ooh, Sydney.
Yeah, there you go.
Sydney.
Hey, they don't call me Sid Punts for nothing.
The winner is Sydney.
Jag that one. Let's just stop this prediction segment right now. A lot of my other predictions were very rough.
Right,
what else we got?
We got a top try scorer. You ready?
Yeah.
Top try scorer, Normie.
Excuse my French, but Bevan.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Interesting.
Josh Adokar.
He's got some legs on him.
Top try scorer will be Jordan Rapana, just outside BJ Leilua.
I'm liking all three of those tips, besides the Adokar one.
Yeah, do you want to eat your words?
It was him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he ran first.
Vunivalu came first, but both Former and I were on the money. Josh Adokar came third, and Rapana came third.
Right, we'll go to Dally M. Here we listen to this.
I can't even remember
who you even picked for this?
Nah.
This is one of your best, Sid. Hang on. Who's going to win Dally M, Normie?
This is going to make you very, very happy, Former Legend. Nathan Cleary.
Sid?
Croker. I know he's out injured, but...
Yeah, that could cost him.
Yeah, it could cost him. I wrote this before I knew that.
Back before June.
I'm not changing it. That's my tip.
Dally M will be Anthony Milford. I said that this time last
year.
You
did.
Go again. Well, stunning. How close.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Mate, Cleary had a good season.
He went all right. Well, yeah, I'd love to know who actually came first out of our three tips for that.
It wasn't Croker. I was bold and brave back then. No result.
And, well, the last one, the one of interest, the more controversial of the subjects. Here we go. First coach sacked, Normie?
Madjory Gar.
Nathan Brown.
Yes, Hasler.
Oh, yeah.
Two out of three, but Normie, I'd like to say that you were kind of right, and I was kind of right, and Nathan Brown's still plugging along up there in Newcastle.
No, true. I just didn't want to say Jason Taylor.
Well, you two hate the Scarecrow. I can't believe, or I guess you two already consider him sacked. But,
well, former legend actually wanted to pick him, but tried to stay solid. If you go back to episode one, I actually said... Jason Taylor will sign the big four and get a 3-year extension.
You know what, Sid? I actually remember that. And every time one of the big four kept getting poached away, I kept thinking, oh, Sydney, only three to go.
Some of my punts were rough punts.
One from four, sacked after six rounds, ran 13th.
And, mate, that seems like seasons ago that the Scarecrow got the flick. That is a long time ago.
Yeah, well, when we first thought about that, we thought Neil Henry was the first one. Then I thought, oh shit, no, that was That was a long time before Jason.
Yeah, you actually said that to me.
The paper said first time four coaches to go in however many years. And I was like, no, they've miscounted. It's only three. And then I went, oh, wait a second. Yeah, that would have been back in round. That was in the early rounds, wasn't it?
I think after round three.
Three, was it?
Yeah, it was really early.
There you go.
We should have probably Googled this.
Do we blame Robbie?
Well, he's gotten rid of Madge as well.
He's got the double. All right, mate. Well, we thought we'd just reminisce quickly on that.
Whoa. This talk about a stitch up. You've called me in with everyone I got wrong. What about the 1-16 I picked right? When you told me to pick the teams 1-16, and from memory, I got everyone right, didn't I?
You just get on iTunes, download season 17 preview episode 1. Yep. Go for your life. Do it in your own leisure, because I certainly ain't going to sit here all night doing that.
I think you'll find you've got very few right, my friend.
This is an absolute G up.
It's a long season. Who would have thunk it?
Righto, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, lads. Thanks, mate. Good fun.
Well, Sid, it's the final show, and as is tradition, the final show, we have an award ceremony.
We certainly do.
Now, this time last year, we had the Golden Sox, but we had to rename them the Golden Sox because you know why?
Why?
Fuck Jack Sock, that's why. That's right, creditors, unleash the fury on Jack Sock.
Yeah, refuses to come on our show.
That's our shout-out for this week, at Jack Sock. Hook in. Go as hard as you want. You too.
So what are we calling our awards this year?
This year, 2017, it's time for the Golden Balloon Knots. That's right, the Golden Balloon Knots. Kick the orchestra in the guts and get them going, mate. I'm good to go. All the curtain lights, this is it. The night of nights, the no more rehearsing and nursing apart. We know every card by heart. All the curtain lights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. Well, welcome to the 2017 Full Credit to the Boys Golden Balloon Knot Awards. And
what a night it is.
Well, and how smashing do you look?
How does Vonnie look?
In that T-shirt that looks like a tuxedo. You look the business. Who are you dressed by?
St. Vincent de Paul, who's French, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That was a good tweet.
# fact check.
I love that tweet.
All right, the first award for 2017 is the Golden Balloon Knot for Dickhead of the Year in Sport. Nominations are Bernard Tomic for I'm Not That Keen on Tennis in a TV interview. Andrew Fifita for sooking it up when Laurie Daly told him he wouldn't be on the run-on team for Game 3 in Origin.
He told Laurie, though.
And Laurie Daly for changing his mind about sitting Andrew Fifita on the bench after he sooked it up. But the winner said...
Who's the winner?
La La Land. Oh, no, sorry. Hang on. Wrong envelope. The winner is anyone who bought a ticket to Mayweather-McGregor and thought Connor was a sniff of winning.
Good point. What about those that bought a ticket to Vegas a week after?
Yeah, there's a special award for them. There's special parking for them as well.
Thank you.
All right.
Who we got next?
The Golden Balloon Knot for Dickhead of the Year in the media. It's a strong field, I've got to say.
Oh, it's always a strong field, dickhats in the media.
Nominations are Gus, the podcast ghoul who started a podcast for Insomniacs this year. Ray Hadley for his grand final shenanigans involved with McElwar.
Yep.
Danny Wilder, no explanation required.
No.
But the winner, once again.
Who's the winner?
Too good, too big, too strong.
Let me do a drum roll.
Open the envelope here. Buzz Rothfield, congratulations, Buzz. Only God himself can explain how he still maintains a job as a footy writer and now a TV presenter on Fox, despite clearly not liking the game unless Cronulla are winning.
But he has made a couple of appearances over the year on our podcast, and we thank Buzz Rothfield for coming on.
All right, the next award, one of the big ones. The Golden Balloon Knot for Flog of the Year in Politics.
In Politics?
That's right.
Okay.
And talking of strong fields.
Yeah.
Malcolm Turnbull, he's so bad of a basketballer, the Washington Generals dropped him. Kim Jong-un, for his services to papier-mâché missiles and shockingly fitted suits and bowl-cut haircuts. Pauline Hanson, for her services to fashion in trying to bring in burkas as mainstream Ware into politics, but also trying to get a gun license. But yeah, a winner.
That's a good policy combination. Who's the winner?
Donald Trump, one of the great flogs in history, spent the last 6 months making knobnut after knobnut decision, mainly on Twitter.
He gets two cheers. If the button will work. Yeah, the button just worked.
I mean, the crowd kick in.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next award. The Grab a Mirror, Golden Grab a Mirror Balloon Knot Award for repeat Grab a Mirror nominations.
Oh, nice.
And first up, Gus Gould once again for his services to commentary and podcasting and sleeping.
Yes.
St. George Illawarra, whose fans certainly are not afraid to get stuck into them when they inevitably start to lose. Former legend for ongoing Grab a Mirror issues over numbering, when they call out the Tuesday on Twitter, how often the call out goes out on Twitter, the top 10.
Yeah.
What else? Yada, 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 yada.
Equal but, 10.
But the winner, and there can only be one winner in this for the repeat Grab a Mirror
of course
nominations, is Cocaine Cassie Sainsbury, who shot to stardom after travelling to Colombia to buy some Beats by Dr. Dre headphones to bring them back to her family and friends, despite there only being one shop in all of Bogota that sells Beats by Dr. Dre headphones. And they've never laid eyes on Cocaine Cassie. Since then, it's been revealed Cassie has been a fly-in, fly-out worker at a Penrith knock shop. And good honour for that.
The cheering. That was like five times I had to hear the cheering. She's changed the story a few times. Oh, Cassie. Let's get her down here. She's down the back outs that side.
I know her sister is.
Yeah.
All right, the next one. Golden Balloon Knot for Creditor of the Year.
Oh, this is exciting.
Now, this is one of the more hotly contested categories, we've got to be honest.
We do have a lot of followers out there.
But in no particular order in the nominations, Juan Fark All, who sends me heaps of funny news stories to bring in the very beginning of the podcast.
He's a great creditor.
Milram for supporting the show constantly, as well as buying a bunch of merchandise and giving it to people he doesn't know.
We often don't have merchandise because Milram just buys it.
And also doing interviews at the Grand Prix.
That was good.
Also,
I need more suspense music. Keep going.
Mer Inc., who once again shone today, we've got to say.
Absolutely.
Who not only put her money where her mouth is by sponsoring this show, but also stays in touch regularly with suggestions and help.
Very good friend to the podcast,
Mer
Inc.
Our winner for the Balloon Knot Creditor of the Year goes to Shaywom. Chase sponsors behind the scenes all year, Sid.
Yes,
regularly lets us know
true
how much he loves the show. Interviews Phil Sigsworth for us, probably the best interview this year.
That was a good interview, and we didn't even do it.
That's a reflection of our abilities, not his. So thank you very much, Shaywom. Congratulations on the award.
Thank you very much for being a creditor.
All right.
What have we got next?
The Balloon Knot for Dickhead Decision of the Year. What were they thinking?
Okay.
First nomination, Jesse Bromwich and Dr. Proctor for doing coke under a security camera in Canberra. Second nomination, Dragons for signing James Graham for 3 years.
Oh.
Taking him to his 50th birthday.
Oust, oust.
The Warriors for recently signing Broncos discard Adam Blair to a 4-year contract.
Oh.
But our winner.
Who's the winner?
The Bulldogs. Congratulations, the Bulldogs Club. Off the back of an ordinary start to 2017 with the same attacking game plan that struggled in 2016. They won a couple of games on the trot, prompting the club to sign Des Hasler to a new 2-year deal contract that won't be honoured as they sacked him before he served 1 day of that new contract.
It was only a heads of agreement contract.
Sure, go with
that. That doesn't count, apparently. Bankstown way.
All right.
Who else we got?
Next award. The Balloon Knot for Disappointment of 2017.
Oh, do I get nominated?
This is the Golden Balloon Knot for 2017. Disappointment.
Yes.
The Warriors, once again, congratulations. They can't win the award, but because we all secretly know they're not going to win anything, no matter how many Test Kiwi players they sign. The Raiders, but we all know they're secretly not going to win anything because they've got a coach that won nothing except for the year he put witches' hats out for Gus Gould.
Good point.
The Dragons, but we all know secretly they can't win an award because they can't defend against tries from kicks. But the winner for the Golden Balloon Knot for Disappointment in 2017 goes to the New South Wales Blues. I mean, how can you go from being 20 minutes from winning your first Origin title in years and your second title in the best part of a decade and still lose? It's one of the great clusterfucks of 2017.
Amongst a lot of clusterfucks.
From Fifita sulking about being benched to Ferguson Dugan on the drink to playing a captain who was in a moon boot only days before kickoff. This was a series loss that will go down in folklore. An absolute disgrace, Sid. It should ensure half of that team never run out in a Blues jersey again.
I did actually pick that Queensland would win 2-1. But anyway, what's the next award?
All right, only three awards to go. The Golden Balloon, not for
car. Equal third.
Car crash of the year.
Okay.
First nomination. Paulini. He was currently trying to avoid some jail time for driver's license fraud. Second nomination. Kate DeRouge.
Yes.
Who was staring at 15 years for possession of ice.
She has trimmed down a lot, though.
Car crash of the year. Third nomination, Bernard Tomic, who must be moments away from losing his mining and just going crazy on the Gold Coast. But our winner, hands down, comfortably, Tim Simona, for raising money for charity by selling jerseys on Facebook. Not sure what that charity is, Queen of the Nile. Well done, Tim. Could be here tonight, you know what I'm saying.
Train wreck.
All right, our second last award for the year.
But we're happy to have you on the show, Tim.
This is the Put Another Shrimp on the Barbie Golden Balloon Not Aussie Abroad of the Year.
Yeah.
Our nominations are Red Bulls F1, Daniel Ricciardo for drinking champagne through a shoe and constantly smiling.
Good nomination.
Sally Pearson for coming back from injury to win the Diamond League 100-metre hurdles final in Zurich.
It is an important comp, the Diamond League.
Jeff Horn, who went from teaching kids PE to teaching Manny Pacquiao how to box. Bet our winner, Sid. There's going to be one winner this year.
That is a strong field.
Congratulations to the Matildas. One of the great stories of 2017. They beat Brazil 6-1 to win the Tournament of Nations. In the process, showed our men's team actually how to play soccer. And Sportsbet put up a market, $1.40 the women to be able to beat the men anytime soon.
Really? Is that a fact?
No.
Because I was going to have a pun on that.
Finally, our balloon not for personality of the year, 2017. Defending champion Yvonne Sampson gets a nomination.
Was she our last year's winner?
Yeah, she called.
She has been fantastic to us.
She wore her golden sock to the Melbourne
Cup. Oh, that is true.
Next nomination is legendary commentator and league lover Andrew Voss.
Yes,
he appeared on our show and he was a champion.
He was indeed.
Bloke that hasn't been on our show, but he's carrying the entire Sydney Morning Herald on his own shoulders, Andrew Webster.
We love Andrew Webster.
But our winner for Gold Balloon, not Personality of the Year, goes to Trent Hodkinson for his stellar work with Hannah Roy, who recently passed away. Sorry to get all serious this time of the year, this time of the show, but it should not go unnoticed, the work Trent did.
Absolutely.
And, congratulations to him, and congratulations
on winning story.
On Golden Balloon, not of the year. I'm sure that's been the highlight of the year for him.
Yeah, we'll send him something.
All right, Sid. Well, with the last time this year, it's time for this.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
All right, wipe those tears away, big fella. It's not that bad. We'll be back soon, 5 or 6 months.
I'm going to enjoy my time off, but I'm going to miss you guys.
We thought we'd just do a little bit, something a little bit different here. We want to say a bunch of thank yous.
Absolutely, we do.
We try to do this in some kind of order. First of all, congratulations to Mr. Barjas, who won last creditor standing.
Yes.
Anyone that's on Twitter would have seen his prize pack. Now, his prize pack.
He was the last out of 5,000 people.
How can that go? In 4 weeks, we whittled them down to one.
It's a miracle.
Effort.
It's the magic of radio. But literally, he was the last one, along with the SKPs, but I'm not going to claim any kind of punting rights.
And it was good too. It was, well, not that it's a bad thing, but one of our long-time listeners, it was good to give something back to him.
Absolutely.
The things we gave to him, you would have seen on Twitter.
Yes.
They were thanks to Mare Inc. If you don't follow her on Twitter, you really should. She, as we said before, she backed our show when we probably needed to be backed.
Yes.
With that, she's also continued with helps, hints, tips, something we'll talk about in a minute for next year.
But if you didn't see it on Twitter, he got number plate holders, coldie holders, a T-shirt, pair of rooting pants that we got volunteered to us. But Mare Inc. has provided pretty much everything that he got, and she has been magnificent. She's been there so whenever we needed advice or anything. She's been great.
At this time of the year, if you're going away to a Bucks Day, if you're going away to a trip to the races, if you want to wear all the same shirts, and I'm talking any sort of shirts, she can get them. She will design them. She will screen print them. You will look the absolute business. She is so easy to deal with too, by the way. We've dealt with her in a business sense as well. She is outstanding.
She's
so
fantastic. Please, Tracy from Mare Inc.
Please, if you're going to support anyone, support her. But if you're not going to support her,
our other sponsor throughout the year, Rum and Q Barbecue Hire.com, Jamie McCall. This is the barbecue season.
Now give him a call if you need a barbecue, you need catering, you need anything. Give this bloke a call. Find him on his website, rumandqbarbecuehire.com.
Another proud sponsor throughout the year. Another bloke putting his money where his mouth is.
Held a creditors only event. I mean,
yeah.
How much further can you go in?
A great sponsor of the show and a great business, so support him as well. But we also want to thank all the creditors out there.
We do want to thank all the creditors.
We have the best crew.
Just the most amazing fans, and I say fans because you clearly are. You tweet us every week. We can't thank you enough for the way you handle or how you interact with our guests on the show. If you look at other podcasts, without wanting to rub ourselves on the tummy, no one gets who we get, and a lot of that is due to you guys and the way you're very friendly to them. You thank them. You say encouraging things. No one is a dickhead, and that goes a long way. Trust me, because they talk about it when they talk back to us.
Certainly does. One guest speaks to another, and we contact them, and they're happy to come on the show because
partly a lot of that.
It's a happy audience. No one's bagging them, and it helps us out, and it keeps our show interesting. So thank you all for not bagging any of our guests, even if you may have wanted to.
Not only not bagging them, but also thank you for being so supportive of them. I know they appreciate it. I know they enjoy it. Do you want to talk about who's been on?
Yes. Well, thank you to all of you guys. This year, we had Pagey.
Chris Page from Triple M.
We had Richard Callender.
Yes.
Russell Barwick.
Yes.
Jim. We had the mole.
On his way, get this, on his way out on the airport, he rang us.
Yeah, that is
true.
He said,
do it now, call me, and I'll be able to do it. So say what you want about that bloke, but he was unbelievably
fantastic,
accommodating to get us in.
Brian Fletcher.
Champion bloke. Looked after Sid when he was absolutely smashed on television.
Yes, so they tell me. Don't remember it. Hoops, another one of my mates.
If you see Hoops, tell him you listen to the show. He's a great bloke. Just a sensation.
Andrew Voss.
Another good bloke. Doesn't trust us with his phone number.
No, the only one that we don't have his phone number. Eric Groth Jr. broke all records when he came on earlier in the year.
Sid's got a man crush on him.
Have a massive man crush on him.
But his episode is still our highest download episode.
Yeah, he was great. All you guys loved him. Ben Fordham came on when he had the number one show in the country.
Unbelievable.
Came onto our podcast.
We messaged him. Within 5 minutes, he messaged back, I'm in. What do I do? Unbelievable.
Another big name, Bo Ryan.
Yeah. Just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Just out
happy
of the
to
blue.
Come on. And gave us a sneaky tip about
that made
Chris Hidington's sneaky tip.
Who else? Dean Halitau.
Dean Halitau.
Just a star. Very, very good guy, too.
Any West Tigers fan will know he is just a gentleman. He was fantastic. V8 supercar driver, Dave Reynolds.
Yeah. And if there's one loose bloke that epitomises this show, it's Dave Reynolds. If you do go to Bathurst, I think that's on soon, go up and say hello. Tell him you listen to the podcast. He will. I'm telling you now, he will greet you with arms open.
Yes. James Maloney.
Star.
Andrew Moore.
Thank you, Andrew Moore. Another good bloke. Absolute champion.
Yes, very much so. Joel Kane.
Good bloke. Bad phone reception.
Dan Ganane.
What about that?
That was a great interview.
We probably spoke to him for the best part of an hour.
Yeah.
A lot of it we couldn't put to air. But he stayed at work after he finished to talk to us.
We tell everyone 20, 25 minutes tops. And he called us after his shift and sat in the studio. And it was dead set about an hour. He was fantastic. Gus Walland.
Champion. He's just plays the clown on the grill team. But he is no clown. And just one of Sydney's great blokes. I'm telling you now.
His episode absolutely rated through the roof. Brain he is just an absolute gentleman, a great bloke. I was shocked.
Yep.
A great bloke to interview. He was fantastic.
I told you.
Yeah, you did tell me. But our third host this year, since we sacked Normie, we picked up Yvonne Sampson yet again, and I don't think anyone can disagree.
As you know, she is so good.
An absolute champion.
If we rang her right now, she'd come on, and that's not bragging. It's just how good of a person Yvonne Sampson is. Nothing's too much trouble. We did one sort of comedy skit with her. She rang in three times because she kept thinking of better ways to do it. After we said it's fine.
That's true. Just let us finish the podcast. No, I've got something better.
You've got a better way to do it. She is an absolute star. All you guys know how good she is. Everyone that I've ever seen is very, very friendly to her. She is just an absolute...
Absolutely.
A champion.
We've never met her.
We've never met her.
But she loves us, and we love her. Thanks, Vonnie, for all your help throughout the year.
Now, we want to go through the leadership group. Thank you very much, you guys, and the leadership group before. We've bounced ideas off them. We'll probably bounce a few more ideas off them because one of them is going to call on probably one or two guys from the leadership group. You'll see next year, but it's a new segment we've got.
Yeah, we've got a few ideas for next year. We're going to keep it fresh.
We want to thank Efficient Not Lazy and Shaywom, who sent us through a Dan Murphy's gift voucher this week.
That was... I was gobsmacked by that. Thank you very much.
Is that it before we talk about next year?
I'm sure there's people that we've forgotten, and we apologise for that, but we are forever grateful for everyone out there listening.
Just quickly, Late Mailman and Normie
will
always be part of this show. As you guys can tell, we have such a great fun with them. We have such a great rapport with them. Both of them are champion blokes, so thank you to those two guys. Now, 2018, we've talked about it for a while. We've got a couple of ideas, but one of the things we want to do is we want to get closer to you guys.
Yes.
And we have one cracking idea where one creditor...
Are you going to release this idea right now, are you?
We're just going to... I'll say this.
Okay.
One creditor will spend an afternoon with both Sid and me on the piss and on the punt. We'll tell you more about it next year. It is, I think it's one of our better ideas, isn't it?
I think it's a cracking idea. Like, I'll go out and get on the piss and get on the punt with anyone.
There's something about
this. To do it with you is one of my all-time favourite things. So we'll get a creditor along to hang out with us.
And the way we're going to do it will blow your mind. Blow your mind.
That's true.
Okay, it involves getting thrown in a van. That's all I'll say. That is the truth.
That is true. If you've listened this long, hold us to that. It is actually true.
Guys, I want everyone to have a good Christmas. Have a very safe Christmas. We wish you nothing but good. Be kind to your family. Be kind to yourselves. Thanks very much to Sid, the only bloke I know with the same amount of energy is this bloke. We do the show every week. It sounds like we just get together and get pissed and start talking footy, but there is a fair bit more to it.
That is where I have to actually butt in because that's all I do is actually get on the piss. You prepare all the notes of what we're going to say. Not that there's a lot of prepared stuff. It's just like a guideline. I have no idea what you're going to say, and you definitely have no idea what I'm going to say, but you produce this show. You write this show. It is... A full credit to you, my friend.
Thank you, mate.
For doing it. It is amazing.
There's been a couple of times where we've nearly pulled the pin.
There's been a few times, but I absolutely love it. It's a long season, but I love it. It's great fun.
Just quickly, I want to thank Shifty.
Yes.
We have no
idea who Shifty is, but we love Shifty.
Know, but he is a... We were a bit worried when he kicked off. We're thinking, oh, no, this could go horribly. He has been nothing but fun, or he or she, whoever it is.
Yeah.
They have played the game beautifully. They have been funny without being offensive to the most. And we really, really love that account.
We
love
whoever
it. You are, Shifty, you are a champion. Thank you for doing it in the spirit that it should have been done in. It was hilarious. With that in mind, I think that's it, isn't it?
I think that's it.
Thank you to everyone. Sorry about the guest that didn't turn up tonight.
Yeah, we apologise for that. We're not going to name them. Hopefully, they will come on next year.
But in the meantime, well, there might be one or two sneaky podcasts over the summer.
Oh, here we go. You're going to miss me, aren't you?
No. We've got one or two ideas, but
we do.
If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. In the meantime.
In the meantime, I'm going to play my rugby league song again at the end of this
episode. Now, listen,
episode.
If you've got this far in, we're so sorry that this has taken up a fair bit of time. Please, our this week's shout out.
Yes. Oh, do you have the shout out?
Yeah.
Who's it going to?
Is a Twitter user at NCHESHER. Nicole Cheshire is her name.
I didn't know you actually looked this up. Good.
NCHESHER. N Cheshire.
So that's the media manager for NRL.
This is the marketing manager for the NRL.
Oh, nice. I didn't know you were going
to
do that.
We want Nicole to at least hear this next song.
Oh, hear, hear.
It's a song that Sid's written, mucked around with. It is all time great. But we really want her to hear it. So we'll bounce out a couple of tweets. Just follow our lead, as you always do. You always do it in the same, in the right spirit. In Cheshire, tweet her out. But
let's get me song.
We'll finish off with this song. I know you all enjoy it. And have a good 2017. We'll see you on the other side.
See you later.
I want to play. Favorite team to see them win the premiership's the ultimate dream. The hits and the tries, I can't believe my eyes. Without a doubt, shout it out, cause all I wanna do is I wanna play rugby league. I wanna live rugby league. I wanna cheer on my favorite team, cause my favorite game is rugby league. With your mates, wearing Aussie colours as you're marching through the gates. The atmosphere's alive, I can't believe my eyes. Without a doubt, shout it out, cause all I wanna do is I wanna play rugby league. I wanna live rugby league. I wanna cheer on my favourite team, cause my favourite game is rugby league. Allegiance to my favourite team, to see them win the premiership's the ultimate dream. The hits and the tries, I can't believe my eyes. Without a doubt, shout it out, cause all I wanna do is I wanna play rugby league. I wanna live rugby league. I wanna cheer on my favourite team, cause my favourite game is rugby league. Tigers, Roosters, Panthers and
greatest game of all.